for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, October the 23rd, 2002, 7th Annual Minister's Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Jack Duran of New Joy Ministries, Youngstown, Phoenix, Arizona, is the teacher of the morning.
Fellowship and know who you're fellowshipping with. You may be seated. You know, it's like people say, well, you know, they don't show up and they always tell you that they're in spirit. I always tell them, don't send me your spirits, I got enough. It's good to be here this morning and worshiping God with you. I will be dealing with the subject of generational curses this morning. Last time I was here, I think it was only, about a month and a half, 2 months?
Yes, sir. Labor Day.
Yes, sir. Praise God. We need to get hungry for the word of the Lord. God is so good. Father, we just thank you today for the word. And God, we ask that you would just open our ears to hear, anoint our ears to the word and the word to our ears. And we just bless you for it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dealing with the generational curses, one of the things that we need to understand in generational curses, a lot of times it's not an easy thing to deal with it, because a lot of times we don't understand what generational curses are. The Bible says that we can read a lot about generational curses as far as coming through the blood, from the man, through the sperm of the man, coming on down from generations. Medical profession is pretty wise. They always ask you, what your father had, what your mother had, what kind of diseases were there. And so those are things that we need to deal with to break the curses in our lives. A lot of times you need to understand that many things that do happen are not necessarily general curses, but things that we pick up along the way in life and open ourselves up to demonic activity. I've had a lot of deliverance done myself. And so one of the arguments is that a lot of people don't understand generational curses in the house of worship, and they don't understand demonization in the house of the Lord. So many people always say there's not this thing happening to the house of worship. I have it come in me in my face here with people that come and say, ha ha, Christians don't have demons. And I just want to say I rebuke you, Satan. Lying spirit, you know. And so... you know, a lot of times religious spirits come in and try to just rattle your cage. I had quite an experience last night. I was feeling a lot of warfare, and my head was kind of spinning, and I woke up and I said, man, something ain't right here. And in my room, there's a stove in my room, and the pilots were off, and so gas was doing me under. And I said, whoa.
Really?
Yeah. But I fixed it. I lit it up and almost blew my hands off. But but God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God is an awesome God.
Amen.
You know, when we understand the word of the Lord, the book of Matthew teaches us that the word, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And if we understand the word of the Lord and how it works in our lives, we're going to learn how to have victory in our lives in the midst of storm. And many times what brings religious spirits, even in the house of worship, that many times when there's an affliction, even in your body, that people will always try to come to you and say, well, you don't have faith and you don't understand the word and all this kind of stuff. But wisdom is greater than religion. Amen. And a lot of times you need to understand that, because sometimes you walk in darkness, that doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. Or because there's heaviness that comes against you, or things that happening to you, doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. And discerning even generational curses and spirits, you need to understand that just because things are going right, doesn't mean you're in the will of God. Just because things are going bad, doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. And so sometimes we need to understand that gross darkness sometimes means that we are in the will of God, and we sometimes have to drink of the vinegar and the bitter waters of Marah just to keep on trucking. Amen. And until we don't have to spit it out anymore and overcome. But God, keeping God's words is the secret to blessing and deliverance. And we know that the word of the Lord, you know, it's like me. I have a knee, which has been a generational curse in my families. And I just thought about that because diabetes has been in a generational curse in my family. And I have a brother that... It's interesting because I was here about a month and a half ago, and my brother, while I was here, passed away. And I went over to go to the funeral, which I really didn't want to go. But I went anyway, and it was good because I had a hard time trying to get the pulpit there. My sister-in-law didn't want to give me the pulpit. And I said, give me 2 minutes. Well, my 2 minutes are usually half hour. And so they gave me the 2 minutes. And it was interesting because while I was there, I analyzed a lot of things which I've already known in my family, generational curses from alcohol. My father, even though I never knew my parents, my parents, as I knew them, were always saved. They served the Lord when I was born. But the generational curses that followed were tremendous. One of my brothers had lost both his legs to diabetes, and he was over there. And amazing that they had the services, and I'm watching my family, and I'm ministering to the family there. And I see the generational curses that are in my family. And, you know, I've often said that many times what happens with some of us is we just fall off the family tree and land on our head, you know. But God is faithful. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so I've seen my brother lose his legs and to diabetes and stuff, you know. But it's amazing because after, you know, going to the funeral, the amazing thing is that I led my brother to the Lord about over a year ago. And the amazing thing is that I don't know why they had him and that's okay, you know, I'm not putting down the Catholic Church or anything. But they had him in the Catholic service. And so the priest ministered, and my sister-in-law gave me the go-ahead. I said, well, you can get up and say a few words. And I said, okay. So I preached for a half hour. And it was so amazing because the priest got up after me and he told the people, I said, man, this was powerful. You know, he says, this guy has the word of God, you know. And it was amazing because the second service that he had the following day, he started preaching about repentance and being right with God and not going to hell and going to heaven. And, you know, it was amazing. The amazing thing is that part of my family still, you know, they say yes to Jesus, but they're not saved. And so after the funeral, you know, in the evening we went out to eat, and I couldn't find some of my family. I was with my wife and my oldest sister. And so I asked him, I said, where's the rest of the family? And she said, they're at a bar drinking. Oh, I said, take me there. So we went there, and I preached at the bar. So we had a good time. I mean, that's how you mess up Satan's parties. And so I went and preached in the bar, and God did some awesome things. And it seemed when I left, everybody left, you know. So the drunks, I've seen the drunks get sobered, and it's amazing, you know. But God is faithful to His Word. And that's what we're sent to do. Amen. And, you know, dealing with the curses in life, as some of you know, and maybe understand all these things because you've been to doctors and they let you know or ask you some of the sicknesses that are there in your family, you can come under a curse for which you are personally not responsible, but you have actually inherited. And sometimes you don't understand the sickness, the diseases that are there, and you wonder, why in the world did it happen to me? Well, it comes to the generations that God speaks about, to the fourth, even fifth, even longer generations that it flows through. And those sickness and diseases, a lot of times you need to understand, like we deal with people here with diabetes or whatever, and God can heal like that. But you need to understand that a lot of times in deliverance, you also need to do your part, especially when there's sickness. You know, it have to be real. You know, I've seen miracles. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen cripples walked. I've seen all these things, you know. I've seen the blessing of God in people, and then I have to say, what about me? You know? But God is faithful to the working of His Word. And so don't be thinking that you're out of the will of God because of where you are right now. Because a lot of times God will take us through valleys and men. The testing of our faith is tremendous. And I believe the Word of God is truth. I believe He's a healer. He's a deliverer. You know, He quickens our mortal bodies. And He saves us and He redeems us. You know, the Word is truth. And the truth is parallel. So I just want to encourage you today to stand and see the salvation of God, because there's a lot of curses that come in families, especially when you see curses coming from generation to generation. In most of our families, you'll find out one of the greatest curses is divorce, and it flows through a lot of families, and that's prevalent in the church today like in any other area. Basically, they say it's 50-50. I think it's more in the church. And even in the church, you know, where I pastor, people sometimes find it so easy to just unload someone because of they don't love me no more and they trick me, which is what Sister Jerry was preaching this morning. We find it so easy to break away instead of dealing and understanding the curses and the sin and all this that is there, the ramifications that take place. And so we just kind of mosey on down the road and we think the pasture is greener on the other side. How many of you know that it doesn't matter what pasture you're in, you've got to take out the weeds. Amen. And so it is with life. Life is like that. Life is like a garden. You constantly have to be plugging out those things that shouldn't be there. And infiltration, if we don't do that, it's like the weeds, they'll take over everything. You know, it'll cover the grass and whatever. And that's what God will do. Joyce, right? Would you stand for me? I'm just going to minister as God leads me, okay? I'm not trying to take space. But this sister, I saw two patches this morning, and I just want to relate that to you today. There was all greenery here, and all of a sudden it dried up, and you have moved on to another one. And you haven't found totally what was there in the beginning here. But God says He's going to cause it to grow, and the pain and the wound, I saw a wound in you that wasn't totally healed. And God said He's going to pour oil and wine into you, and the anointing of God is going to close it in, and you're going to find the joy that you thought that you'd never have, because God is going to, you seem like a happy person, congenial person. God says the joy of the Lord is even going to be stronger upon you, and the memories of that thing is not going to be painful or regret. It's going to be a thing of just going, it's like driving through a city and just passing through. And God says He's going to heal you in such a way that you're going to be used of God in a way that is going to baffle your mind. But God is going to bring restoration. And that area that hasn't seemed to grow, that which was over here, the Lord says, little by little, you'll see the working of God. And those things in the back, they're just going to be a scar that's there. It's not going to cause grief or looking back to the things that should have been and weren't. God says that's going to be no pain. Amen. How many of you don't know pain, no gain? Amen. So God's going to do some things in you, and you're going to see really the joy of the Lord and the workings of God. And I think that's what you're here for. Amen. And as ministers of the gospel, most of us are ministers, you know, I think. You know, we're all called to be ministers of the word, you know. But I'll be dealing with the subject tomorrow in a different area. I'll bring it into rejection in a different area. But one of the things that we need to understand is you can inherit all kinds of problems, as you know, from sickness to diseases, whether they be cancers or asthmas or whatever diseases are there, it can be inherited. Amen. Even to sexuality problems. And one of the worst things in dealing with generational curses is that you understand that a lot of the things that we deal with are passed to our children. And many times, you know, the speakers have already hit on those things that you see are areas in the lives where you see them in your children, and you see them in you, and you see them passed down to them. Even the way they're act sometimes is a generational curse because of the way we've acted. And so we see that. And I have two adopted children that I have. One, I got them when they were a day old. They're now 23. One's going to be 20, two this Friday, and I've seen curses in them that I've had to break and get discernment. One of the things we need in as Christians today is to have the spirit of discernment. Big time, yeah. Otherwise, you know, we don't want to just be speaking to things and speaking to everything that cracks or flickers or whatever. We don't want to call everything a demon, amen. Sometimes our bedrooms are just too much pizza. And so not everything is a demon. You know, when we start in deliverance like me, everything is a demon until you find out, man, this deliverance is going to kill you if you don't balance out, you know. And, you know, demons will keep you awake all night if they have to. If you allow them. If you don't get discernment, you're going to burn yourself out in ministry. And so those are areas that we need a lot of discernment and understanding generational curses, which is also a curse versus demons. There's a difference sometimes in those areas, but it's all caused by the devil. And a lot of times you understand that curses also have come from the Lord. You know, the Lord had to repent of his evil that he did towards Israel. The word evil doesn't necessarily, it always means something that's against being right, you know, something that's bad. You know, and a lot of things that we don't understand, you need to understand that not everything is a demon in your life, okay? You know, sometimes people bump their leg or their knee or something on the table and they cast every demon. You know, the demon made me do it, you know. And no, you were just clumsy and didn't look where you were going. If there's a demon, there's a demon of clumsiness, you know. And so those are areas that we need to be very careful that we don't get so demon conscious that we forget to worship. In generational curses, you know, in my hometown, some of the pastors that know me, they call me demon chaser. And I just laugh at them, you know, because they don't believe in that. And yet they're tormented by demonics. By the demonic spirits that come upon their lives. And I don't make light of that, you know. I just pray God will give him revelation and understanding, because you don't want him to be caught up in such demonic activity that they themselves, the ministry is being destroyed, the churches, because it's like Brother Simpson said last night, every minister ought to be doing deliverance and casting out demons. The balance of ministry is you need to understand whether we're breaking generational curses or we are dealing with demons and possession. You need to understand that only about one-third of the ministry of Jesus was deliverance. So we need to balance between deliverance and understanding deliverance and working in the area of teaching other principles, you know. We can be so off balance on something. I thank God for, you know, I believe God wants us to prosper, but sometimes we can go overboard, you know, and that's all we do. And we need to have a balanced ministry, you know, and teaching. I have a young man in my church who's been in prison. This brother has been tormented and has cirrhosis of the skin because of drugs and whatever. Well, his son just came to me the other day, and I looked at him and his skin. I says, "What happened to you?" He says, "I have cirrhosis of the skin," which is a generational curse of alcohol and all things that are there. Like I say, my father, before he got saved, was a drunk. You know, he used to drink a lot, from what I hear. But all of us, most of us in the family, were drunks. You know, we just liked our wine coolers and, you know, they know how to drink socially. We either went to get drunk or we didn't drink, you know. But out of the curses that come even of alcohol, I've had my back broken in three places, my shoulders dislocated, my head open wide broken, you know, my head busted. That's what my mother said. I got a lot of air in my brain. But so the curses will always bring... They'll always bring a curse. Even like, you know, we deal with the curses. I just came out preaching from a prison in Arizona. And most of the guys there, they believe in tattooing their arms. You know, if you've been in prison, you know that's what they do. And I'm taking mine off not because I haven't been forgiven on it, because I'm also a principal of a school. And I have a charter school. And one of the kids came to me one day and said, "I'm going to have a tattoo like you." And I says, "No, you're not." I says, "Because I'm taking it off. It's costing me $700 to take it off and $20 to put it on." Maybe that's why they put them on instead of take them off. I don't know. But the Bible just teach against us. You know, we see it, I think it's in the book of Leviticus, where it deals against tattoos, an abomination to the Lord. And so I go to the prison and deal with the curses that are there, because the men that are not taught right, you know, they're Christians. They want to serve the Lord. And you have to go in there and do deliverance and teach them about these things, about the curses that they're not only cursing themselves with their tattoos in there professing to be Christians, but when they get out, even that alone is going to make it hard for them to get a good job, you know. And so I'm not coming against you if you have tattoos. You know, I got one. I had two, but I took one of them off already, you know. But those are things that we need to be aware and learning some of the things. And like I say, even the medical professions understands the curses that come through our generations of our parents on down from generations past from Adam, I guess. You know, the sickness and disease that is passed down to us through our parents. But I've done the teaching before. I want you to go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 9. And I trust that God will open our ears to hear. You know, I believe that the teachings that we receive ought to not just be preached once, but they ought to be preached about 10 times.
Amen.
At least for us to hear it that many times. You know, there's too many books out there, and I know there's a lot of good teaching there. But if you purpose to read the Word, this Word, you know, I got a lot of books. I got a library that, so I have so many Bibles sometimes I have to stand there in front and go preach just because I don't know what to teach, you know. And so you have so many books, and you have to be careful that a lot of stuff don't cause a lot of confusion in your life. In Genesis 9, verse 20, I want to take you there, and I want to do this teaching to you because I believe it'll relate to us on some of the things that we need to see the working of the curses that come. And in verse 20 of Genesis 9, it says, "And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not the father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be God, the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and died." I want to just understanding how generational curses start, and it doesn't take much for you to, if you really look at your own life and understand, if you really know about some of the background of your family, your fathers, your grandfathers, you're going to understand generational curses. And this is how you get a knowledge of generational curses. And this was actually the beginning of a family curse that came in the beginning because of Noah's drunkenness. And sister Jerry, this morning I mentioned in verse 26:2 that the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, you need to understand that it's no curse just happens. Okay? In other words, no curse is just there because there it is. It has to have a cause. There's a cause and effect in whatever happens to us in the wrong, in the curses. There's a cause and effect. So the Bible teaches in Proverbs 26:2 that the curse causeless does not come. In other words, something caused this that is going on in my life, whether it's sickness and disease. And I believe that many people have died prematurely because they didn't understand the generational curses. And we have to stand. Sometimes we just have to war against this thing. Sometimes God just boom like that. But sometimes you just have to war against this thing and continually speak to this thing because you know the Word and you know how to stand on the Word, you know. A lady said to me, and says, "You better take care of your knee and do what God told you to do." I says, "He tells me he's my healer. He's never told me to cut it off." And that's what they want to do. They want to make me a bionic man. They want to put a metal or something in there. I said, "No, God is my healer. And I have to stand on it and believe on it You know. One of the things that people can do in your curses or demonization or wherever you are, especially in the house of worship, is that they need to understand that they can't put heavies on you as far as not having faith. The Bible says to all of us, a measure of faith is given. And it's amazing that sometimes it's people that come out of the world are so they're full of sin and curses and everything in their lives, and they come and get prayed for, and the Lord heals them for a sign. You know, and you kind of look at those areas and say, God, you know, they don't even serve you. You know, well, I just laugh at that. You know, I've been doing ministry, deliverance, in the ministry that God has raised through me, three people that I know of. You know, one lady that died in the church who raised her up right there. And I've been to Africa, different areas. I've seen miracles. I mean, real miracles, not this headache thing, you know. But a headache, if it heals, that's still a miracle. But the thing is that I've seen miracles of dead people raised. I've seen people just delivered from all kinds of junk, you know. And God is an awesome God. He's still God. And like I always say, sometimes you pray for people and they die, you know. And so you just say, God, it's your will, you know. Your job, your place is to do what God told you to do. It's God's place to do His, so that you don't feel guilty. And people will come and ask, I just don't know why he didn't get healed. I said, well, it's on you. He says, you will pray and they will recover. So then if you're going to put it on anybody, don't put it on them. Put it on you. You know, it's God's job. Amen. It's the work of the Lord to heal, restore. And I know that Jesus couldn't do a lot of work because of unbelief. You know, I know unbelief hinders us. But, you know, we are those that believe. Say it with me. We are those that believe. Amen. And there's a season when you know that it doesn't matter how much you pray, God's going to take him home.
Yes.
You know, that's the way it is. You know, but our place is to continue to pray. And then at the end, sometimes you just have to say, I don't know what to say, but I'm going to stand with you. You know, instead of trying to find out anything, you know. So we see here that the curse causeless shall not come. Everything has a cause in life. Amen. And so we see sin and various things happening in our family. We need to understand that sin is always a curse. Amen. Every time we sin, say it with me, sin is always a curse. Amen. And you know what's so amazing? You know, sometimes we say we sin knowingly and unknowingly. The Bible says once you know truth, it shall set you free. You know, sometimes people have come up for the curses of addiction in their life, whether it's alcohol or smoking, you know, whatever addictions are there. Well, if you already know truth, the truth ought to set you free. You know, when I used to drink, I used to party and sing in bars and all that kind of stuff, you know. And when I made up my mind that alcohol wasn't going to control me, nobody had to come and cast demons out of me. I just prophesied the word to myself. I said, I ain't going to drink it no more. I went and dumped it in the sink, unplugged the sewer, and that's how it was. Amen. And so, look at somebody and say, you can do it. It's like people say, well, you know, I need help with my smoking and stuff. Well, you already know it. I says, why don't you just apply it? Yeah. Amen. Truth will set us free. It's more than just seeing a stop sign sometimes and knowing that if you don't stop, you might get caught. You know, and sometimes you just don't see it. It's like my wife sometimes said, didn't you see the red light? Red light. Down the street. Anyway, we see sin various happen in our family. And say it with me again, sin is always a curse.
Sin is always a curse.
And you need to understand that sickness is always a part of the curse. Amen? Sickness is always a part of the curse. And those are things that even the lack of things like poverty can become a generational curse in our lives. And so poverty can be a generational curse. God says in the Word that He wants to bless us, that we even have enough to give to every good cause. And yet there are people in the house of worship. You know, I get frustrated with some of this. Money cometh. The Lord says He's going to take care of you if you obey the law of giving. Money, you know, the mafia gets rich quick. You know, money cometh to them like crazy. You know, and they don't worship God. The Bible says He will meet all our needs according to His riches in glory. So the curse of poverty can be broken if we really move towards it. Whether you understand it or not, none of us have it all together. Look at somebody and say, none of us have it all together. Look at them and say, we're in a process. So we're on this road going somewhere. We're people, say it with me, we are people of destiny. And so in all these areas, the roadblocks to our lives sometimes become the curses, the sin that comes against us, the struggles of life themselves. But we're people of destiny. I'm destined somewhere. I'm focused on where I'm going. And so I don't care generational curses or whatever. They're not going to stop me from going to where I'm got to get. Amen? And so we need to understand that those curses can be broken. And sometimes you just have to keep on saying, I'm going to overcome this thing. I don't care how painful or how afflicted it gets me or how tormented or how pressure. I'm just going to keep on moving. Amen. And so a lot of times that's how you overcome the demonic. The Bible says if you resist the enemy, he's going to flee and cause him to flee not only one way but seven ways. Because we have the power. Amen. We have the power of Jesus. We can speak till we're blue in the face. But if we don't make it work and apply it to life, it's not going to help us even in our curses. So all these things, God's Word says it didn't just come on its own, that there was a cause for all these things that came. Amen. You see, as we read about it this already, that Noah, the curse that brought on Noah's curse was that Noah got drunk. Amen. And alcohol is, how many of you know that alcohol is one of the devil's favorite tools to get us? And you say, well, I'm going to get drunk to have fun. In my fun of getting drunk, they broke my spine in three places. I had to have a ruptured disc removed. They broke my shoulders. They busted my head. They broke my hands. And that was the fun of drinking.
Yeah.
And you know what? Amazing. The Word of God is so truth. In Proverbs says that they that get drunk and have redness of eyes are those that go out for more, and they get beat up and say, what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell people, I say, I made a lot of people run, but they never caught me. And when they did, man, they whipped me. And so those are the pressures that we see in life of the curses that we are deceived sometimes because of the sin. And I'll let you know that there's pleasure in everything. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't last. I mean, I had fun getting drunk. I didn't have fun getting beat up, but I did. Amen? And so the one of the things that the devil does, even through alcohol, is he opens the door to hideous curses. Amen? How many of you know that a lot of people call alcohol a sickness instead of sin? You know, if we understand the Word, you know, the curses that were in my family because of generational curse of drunkenness is a lot of people, that's why the Bible says when it starts to ferment in the cup, don't even look at it. Proverbs 20 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There's a lot of, there's about 70 scriptures against drinking. I said, well, I'm an Italian and I like one with my spaghetti. Well, the Bible says it's going to be like a snake that's going to bite you. And once it's bite you, its venom is going to hook you. And that's why God says, don't even look on the cup when it begins to bubble or ferment. How many really understand that wine gets you drunk because it's spoiled? What is there in it? Algae or fungus or whatever? And it messes up your brain. It's what?
It's the urine.
It's the urine? My mother used to tell me, why do you drink the urine of a cow? But she saw me with a beer. My mother used to call me the devil's disciple. I said, goodness gracious. No, it's broken. But it was truth. You got to deal with truth. When you're not following God, you're following somebody. If you're not following God, you're a devil's disciple. And you got to transfer over, you know. And truth hurts.
It does
hurt. Amen. Whether you're saved or unsaved.
That's right.
And so if you're already there, in the curse, they can't curse you any more than the curse. You got to transfer over. Say, but you will serve the Lord because I'm praying for you and I'll break the curse on you. I don't want to preach. How many of you know that drunkenness causes us to do a lot of things we wouldn't do if we were sober? Heckle and jackal.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Different as day and night.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I believe what happened to Noah was that he was uncovered in the tent. And the Hebrew word uncovered indicates that there was a homosexual act here. Okay? A lot of people want to put all kinds of stuff in it, but I think there was a homosexual act here. If you read in the book of, let's go to the book of Habakkuk. And in this book of Habakkuk, we see, does anybody have a Living Bible? And no, you don't have to go get it, brother. I wanted somebody to read the Living Bible or the NIV. NIV. Read Habakkuk 2:15. You got it? Okay. 2:15 and 16. The Lord is so good to us and so gracious. Amen? Amen? And so we need to understand the working of God in our lives. Okay, woe to him that gives drink to his neighbor. Go right through 16.
You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup of the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory.
Isn't that amazing? The thing that we drank to make us happy and joyful brought the curse upon us. Amen? And somebody gets drunk in order to have some kind, you know, there's a lot of sexual perversion that goes up in drunkenness, and a lot of killing, a lot of everything happens in drunkenness because you can't think straight. You know, there's a lot of things that even to us as ministers, the Bible gives us a lot of instruction of not drinking. It is not right for the ministers of the gospel to drink. It says, you that are ministers and called to be ministers shouldn't even touch it. He says, so you'll be able to, even for kings, he says, so they'll be able to discern between right and wrong. So they'd be able to make right decisions. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so we see here some things that God shows us, and they're broken down, and what happens, the brokenness of even the alcohol, all these things. Not only that, but you're seeing the world today, they're building up, the Bible talks about one of the later day things that's going to be the pharmakia or the pharmaceutical, the drug. And you're seeing now, especially around Phoenix, if you're there, they're raising up a drug store in every corner. Walgreens is just popping up like that. The Bible talks against these things, and we as children of God need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We need to know what's happening around us. Amen? So we see here that Ham was the one who found his father in his drunken condition, but the curse didn't come to him because he didn't go into his father's tent and commit a homosexual act. We see here that he talks about the younger son or grandson, which was Canaan, that went in and committed the act with him. He was the one that did it, and that's who curse came upon. And again, when Cain committed the sin, there was a cause for the sin to come and the curse to come. And in dealing with all these things that God deals with us, And I mentioned this last time I was here, that a lot of times you look at the curse that happened when God drives them out of the land and all this stuff, then you know, a lot of the things that happened is, for years people have said that the black race is cursed because Ham was cursed and Ham was black. And Ham was black. But that wasn't the curse. The curse did not come on him on the collar or the mark that God had given on him. And Ham, that's such a lie of the devil, amen?
Yes.
Because if you study the word Ham, the word Ham means either hot or dark skin. But God didn't say that Ham would be cursed. He said that Canaan would be cursed, amen? What did God curse? He cursed the sin. And so the sin is what's cursed. How many of you know that it's God's desire that none should perish?
Amen.
But that all of us should come to repentance. And that's why Canaan was cursed. You remember that Canaan had four other sons. And they all were different colors according as you study the thing. So, you know, we read in Exodus 20 verse 5. Some of us have read this and know it by heart. But the thing is that if we understand in this area of the curses, He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. And so those generational curses follow, and they will come upon us if we're not wise enough to discern what's going on. You can see how it came upon the Canaanites' generation. I want to instruct this today because sin, the sexual sin is the worst. And I want to, some of you were probably here last time I was taught, but you need to understand why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And understanding the generational curses that is so tremendous here, for what sin. And the reason that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was because of the homosexuality, the curse of homosexual that were there from whom. And if you study this and understand where the descendants of Sodom and Gomorrah came from, they came from Canaan. Canaan was the one that committed the sexual act with Noah. And the Sodomites and those in Gomorrah came out of this generation. So you can see the pattern of the generational curses that were there and the homosexuality that happened and the sexual perversion that happened there. And so God cursed the descendants of Canaan. Amen? And that's why this is what all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were involved. And you see this generational curses. A lot of times when you see the generational curses of homosexuality, somewhere along the family tree, this has happened. Last time I was here, there was a young man. He's not here today. But this young man, the bitterness of the generational curse in him was so tremendous. In doing deliverance to him, they had been doing deliverance to him for about 2 or 3 days. And I went and discerned immediately that he had been molested. And homosexuality. And he looked at me and he growled at me and said, you are Jesus Christ. I says, I'm not Jesus, but he's in me. I began to do deliverance in this young man, and seeing the working of God in his life is that his father had molested him. He's 21 years old now. He's a grown man. And his father still wants to molest him. And so the generational curses that follow are so hideous and so tormenting. He says, and even my brother was torments me now with homosexual acts. And this man was God sent here because he's tormented. He don't know how to get rid of it. But how many of you know God does? Yes. And so we need to be aware that some of these people that are into homosexuality, I have a niece, for instance, that I went to my brother that died. His only daughter by him is a lesbian. And they're there in the church. Doing the sign of the cross and weeping and just the priests are, you know, that's why I got up and took the time to preach. And then the amazing thing is that the following week when I got home, I did another service that they told me to get involved. And it was also done by the Catholic priest. And I got up and said, you know, so amazing in your churches. And I have to be blunt, you know, not sarcastic. Don't want to be tough. But a lot of the people are perishing because nobody's telling them the truth in their generational curses. Yeah. And if we don't stand up and declare this and this is what the Lord says. And I was telling them, I said, you know, I just came from one of your services in New Mexico, my brother. And I saw lesbians making the sign of the cross and believing that they're saved. And the priests are seeing these things and they're not telling them that they're going to hell. No. And see, I believe it's going to be on us. The Bible says if we don't tell them, the blood will be on us. And so we have a right. It's not a matter of saying, well, I don't make waves. Make waves. Amen. Jesus made all kinds of waves. He's still waving. He's still causing storms. And if we don't get rid of this thing and begin to deal with people's generational curses in honesty and begin to declare, you know, if they kill you, so what? You know, it's amazing. We want to go home and we fight it. Even death, you know, sickness and disease. Oh, God, don't take me yet. And we're promised a better place. So we see the curses in the houses of worship that are so tremendous. That's why when I went back there, I had no problem going and preaching in the bar. I had no problem. See, I've been in those bars. I fought in those bars. I grew up in those bars. I still know how to fight. Help me, Lord. I went to a hockey game one time as a Christian, and it was amazing that this guy said, "Do you want to go to a hockey game?" And I got excited. You know, I like action. And I came to work one day, and the guy said, I went and I said, "Man, that was good." I said, "They took their gloves off, bro, and they punched. It was exciting." And he said to me, I said, "You mean a Christian like you enjoys fighting?" I said, "Yeah, don't make me mad." But God has delivered me. Well, you know, people frustrate you. How many of you know been down the road and somebody sticks a finger up to you and lets you know you're number one? And they angry you. And you got to deal with that anger in you. I remember one time, you know, I hadn't been delivered from that. I followed this guy and had my two kids and my wife with me. My wife says, "What an example to the kids, Jack." I says, "Well, go tell him not to do that again." But God delivers us gradually. Amen. I'll tell you, even the heathen believe when you scare the daylights out of them. Or I should say the hell out of them. I had a guy one time, I was parked behind him, and he let me know I was number one. And I got out of my car. And I tell this because that's why I told my wife, even the heathen believe, you know. And he rolled his window down about this much. And I said, "Did you give me the finger?" He says, "I hope to God not." I said, "Okay." My wife says, "Well, let's say somebody's going to shoot you." I said, "Well, they haven't. I trust I'll be delivered before then, you know." But if we don't preach, if we don't preach about being real and being in this area, in our churches today, you know, people, it's not a matter of going and hitting anybody with a Bible over their head. The Bible says, as brother was teaching last night out of the Word, if we're going to deliver people out of generational curses and addiction spirits, we're going to have with meekness to go. I don't judge you. I'm not your judge.
No.
And that's what I tell people living in the house of worship. I'm not your judge. When I know people that get discernment that they're having problems with addiction spirits and stuff, I always tell them, I said, "Look, I'm not your judge. I'm not judging you or criticizing you. But I think I can help you." You know, because I was one. I was a fighter, a womanizer. I was a drunkard, smoked pot, the whole thing. Got saved coming out of jail. Let me teach you some things. And they say, they respond better than that. I said, "You dirty sinner." And you forget where you came from. And how generational curses have been broken in your own life. Amen. Perversion, the whole thing. And so you don't go to him and hit him with 245s, you know. You go there with meekness and say, "Look, this is what God did for me, and this is what He can do for you."
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And so God is good. But sometimes, you know, when we get saved, if you don't have no savvy, no know-how, we act out of even deliverance and dealing with people out of something that we don't even know. I irritated the daylights out of people. Because I, you know, you don't drink and you don't smoke and, you know. I remember one time dealing with a spirit of addiction. I just started in deliverance, and right away, this guy, a minister, led him to the Lord, and he went and lit up a cigarette, and I raked him over the coals, and he never wanted to be around me anymore. And God spoke to me and says, "You're a fisher of man. I clean the fish." I said, "Okay." "Oh, you do?" So we see this curses that follow all the way, Sodom and Gomorrah. You can follow the Canaanites' curses all the way to Joshua. And you see the curses following. If you analyze your family right now where you are, I don't have to tell you, just you've been thinking about some of the things in your own life. My father died of a heart attack, 41 years old. My mother died of diabetes at 67. You don't think there's curses in my generation? Sure there are. How do I stand? Doctor told me, "You're going to die young with, like your dad." I said, "You'll die young like my dad. I ain't going to die young. Because you see, I believe I'm not going to die till God takes me home.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
No devil can kill me."
Amen.
Amen. It's like the same way with Paul. He went through a lot of garbage, but nobody could do him under till the end. You know, when it was time, boom. You know, when it's time, hey, here we go. A lot of people are going to fly away, but Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Another message for another time, not to confuse you. You know, a lot of generational curses also come out of bestiology and the perversion that comes, you know, people having sex with animals and all that kind of junk, you know. And so those things are out there. And the things that were happening before was the sexual activity in the front of the idols that were taking place. And so all those things that were there, we deal with some of those things that God wants to break the curses in our life. Amen. And sometimes in the midst of the presence of God, you can't take what God is saying or dealing with, because a lot of people have a mindset that this is the way it is. You know, you deal with any subject in the church, and there's usually somebody that will come against you because they have no revelation.
Right, that's right.
See, impartation of the word has to bring revelation. And some people have a mindset that sometimes God can even penetrate to set him free. Amen? How many of you know that the more sin, the worse it gets? Look at somebody and say, practice makes perfect. And so we get good at sinning when we sin, if we practice it. And so if you understand what provoked the curses that came, the generational curses that came in Noah's life, you need to see it as the thing that happened because of drunkenness. One thing brought all kinds of generational curses. Perversion until Noah got drunk, that opened the way to sin. Look at, go with me to the book of Proverbs 20. And I quoted this a while ago. But go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. It says that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And if you study the word on here about drunkenness, you'll find out how many scriptures are against drinking. I think there's only one scripture that says in Lamentations to give to a dying man strong drink to ease his pain, and that's about the only place you see it. I think it was grape juice. Because if God was going to tell him to drink fermented wine, then the whole thing, the other 75 scriptures against it, are void. And it's not. Because God says, don't touch the fermented wine. Don't even look at it. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is ready. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so you see it all the time. It says, don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't even get close to it. Amen. Let me ask you a simple question. What made the alcoholic the first drink or the last drink? The very first. And they touched it. Amen. And so we see here some things. I want to touch on something that Sister Jerry this morning spoke to. And you know, she was in Proverbs 20:20. It says, whoever curses his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out to obscure darkness. What is perfect vision? 2020. So it says here that you will not have 2020. Anyway, praise God. Look at Proverbs 31. And I want you to go 4-6. And this is what, in this also says that, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for the princes strong drink. You need to understand, first of all, that he's not only talking for kings, you're a king. Are you a king?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that we're kings and priests unto God.
Amen.
It says, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, or for princes to strong drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be heavy hearts. Hallelujah. One of the things that God teaches us here is that we shouldn't drink. Even leaders shouldn't drink socially, because they never know when they're going to be called in an emergency. Look at go with me to Proverbs 23. I want you to stand just for a moment and stretch. The Bible says not to be among wine bibbers, among righteous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That was in Proverbs 23:20 and 21. And I believe that the word of the Lord will always prevail in our hearts if we have and ear to hear. Amen. You know that there are churches that I know, you may be seated. There are churches that I know that big denominations, and in part of their big denominations of their preaching salvation, they're still getting drunk in their churches. And the Bible says that the drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. In Isaiah 5:11, it says this. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Now, in all these things that God is dealing with us, we need to understand the fighting, how to fight the strong man that is there for those demonic or generational curses already in progress because of the sins of forefathers or whatever happened. And understanding that God has made a way to us through that deliverance, not only through the powerful name of Jesus, through the blood, through the cross, that we have the power to get set free, because you need to understand that the greatest purpose of God is to conform you to Christ's image. He who has begun a good work in you shall perfect it. And if we get understanding and we get wisdom and we get the knowledge and the understanding of what we're doing, God is going to finish and perfect that which He started. Hebrews declares that we're already perfected in Christ through the blood. But there's things that we see that can also be brought under control and deliverance from in the flesh that we need to deal with. Amen? Because it's a powerful thing. Look with me to the... Let's go with me to the book of Matthew. And I'll tell you, if you disagree with me on some things, just because you disagree don't mean you're right, okay? In Matthew 12:43, Lord help us. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh to dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he says, I will return into my house whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also in this wicked generation. So you need to understand, this is what the brother was talking to, and this is what Jerry was talking about. How do we learn how to keep this demonic stuff out after we've already been set free? Because the Bible says explicitly that when we're set free from demonic spirits, that they go out, and if they don't find another house, they're going to want to return to this other house. But if this house is only clean and not guarded, he says it'll come and bring other spirits with it. Don't live in fear of deliverance that, wow, you just need to learn how to use the word, the shield of the word, to protect yourself so that the spirits don't come back into you and do worse damage than they had done. Because they'll always find other spirits out there that want a place to roam, or a place to live in, I should say. And so, this is what God is dealing with us here. And so, when we fight the strong man, according to Matthew 12:29, we see God working in us some things, because he says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And so we have the power in the Spirit of God to be able to be set free from generational curses. And you know, I've dealt with sickness and torment in my own body that, you know, I've spoken to it and spoken to it. I don't know if my spirit has to get a hold of it. And you know, and I see people, I say, man, they just spoke to him and got healed. And sometimes I've been speaking to people in generational curses or demonic activity, sickness and disease. And I remember one day this lady came to the church and she had a lump right here. It says, I have a lump right here. And it was about, I don't know, about, yay, you know, maybe the size of a jawbreaker. And I put my hand on it. I felt it. I said, oh, there's a lump there. And you pray for these people, and you command it to leave, and it went away. And you just kind of go, oh, wow. But God is merciful, and things happen. And a lot of times you're going to see the working of God in you just because of simple faith. You call it simple, but it's not really simple. It's the power of God working. I remember a lady that came in a wheelchair, and she was already cursed to be in that wheelchair. She couldn't walk. She couldn't get out. And I says, "What are you doing? What's wrong?" She says, "Can't get out of my wheelchair." I said, "Why? I can't walk." I said, "The doctor says I'm going to have to be bound to my wheelchair the rest of my life." I says, "Get up and push it out of here." She didn't even think. Boom, got up, pushed it out. And you're going, "Oh, wow. God is good."
I have a question.
Ask me.
You just mentioned the strong man. And I was always taught to define the strong man as the enemy. But when you were saying that, I thought that if he finds us, he can enter this house to spoil our good.
No, that's not what it says.
But isn't that possible?
Well, let me tell you something. A Christian cannot be totally possessed. Okay? It can have demons unless you totally yield to the devil. You know, so it's not a matter if we're Christians have demons. It's a matter whether a demon has a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so it's possible to be overtaken if you don't know how to do warfare. You know? It's many Christians lose out and they go into a cult. They go into all kinds of garbage. They go into all kind of star reading and gazing and all that stuff because they lose out. And pretty soon what seems to be working for them, they're turned around and some kind of demonic illusion comes in and turns them around from doing what God has told them to do. See? And so it's many Christians have been turned around. And, you know, I've done deliverance to what we call as a basket case where there's totally, they don't even know how to control themselves. Went to a hospital at the mental ward in Phoenix. And this lady, the brothers didn't believe in deliverance. She was going to a church and it happened that they had to put her in a mental ward. And so that I told this pastors I had gone over and done deliverance. So they were calling a lot of other ministries. And so they finally called me and they, because the brothers were from out of state who they were calling and I was there. And so they took me into the ward, and as we went to the sister, and I said, "Well, she speaks in tongues and everything." Mm-hmm. But she was, the spirits would rise up within her, and I just want to use this as an illustration, that the spirits would rise up within her, and she says, when the spirits would speak, she would light up. She was, boom, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, she was ready to go. But when they settled down, she was like in a trance, you know, she was all out of it. And when the spirit spoke and got a hold of it, she's perked up. And the spirits, I find out usually in deliverance that I know of, and most of the times they'll either speak in a screeching voice or in a harsh voice, you know. And they would, she says, "I don't know what's wrong. They just torment me and I hear them talking." And then when the spirits would speak, she would lighten up and the spirit would talk to her and says, "It's us, Kayleen. We're going to kill you." And so, finally, I start rebuking the demons and casting them out. And they would yell and scream, "We're not coming out." You know, and the pastors were awed because they'd never been in deliverance. And I said, "Just pray with me." And so the spirits began to shout, "We are coming out, and we are coming out." And they left her. And I said, "Now, what are you going to do? She's in this hospital. You let her come in the hospital. Now, what are you going to do? She's under the state." I said, "Well, maybe they'll release her." I said, "It's in your hands and God, you know. Because if they leave her back there with all the demons, that's right. And she don't know how to war." So I said, "What are you going to do now?" I don't know. They probably didn't want to be around me. Well, it's okay. I don't know if I have an answer, but
when you finish your deliverance, what are the last things you do?
I'll break curses.
The Holy Spirit and close up all the gates.
I'll do some deliverance.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair.
Chris, can I open the door for you? If you have an individual that is prayer, have no control?
Probably. He's probably yielded himself totally to the demonic forces. But, you know, the thing is that you might look at Noah and say that it's terrible, but whenever there's a sin, the curse causeless shall not come. Because God will always make a way to break the sin or the curse. Amen? God will always make a way. Somebody say, God will always make a way. That's the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve. You know, God immediately made a way for them to be delivered and be set free from the sin to nullify the curse. Because you see, you need to understand that God makes all the rules. He is more powerful than all the forces of nature. Amen? Yet He chooses to be moved by the prayers of a child. That's the amazing thing about the God. He's more than life itself. He's what all else is trying to describe. You need to understand that God is what all else is trying to describe. You can't describe Him really. And it's this God who chooses to seek us. Jesus said, first of all, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. Whether you understand it or not, God chose you. And you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Kings and priests unto God. You can't walk as minorities, whether you're black or Spanish or whatever minority you think you are. You can walk as a minority. You have to walk in a different mindset as a Christian. You belong to a different, you actually are under a different blood. Amen. You can't walk under color. Amen. You see, because God is not partial. I don't think God was white. Jesus was white. You can't be white and be born in Egypt or up in Israel, wherever, you know. And so, anyway, God continues to make choices. Amen. Today, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confuse and bring shame to those that think they're wise. And the weak to put to shame the strong. Amen. You know what amazes me about this God is God. How many of you know that God can be contained? And yet He chooses to live within us. And so the power is, say it, look at somebody, say, the power of God is within me. I'll tell you, He can't be defined, and yet He chooses to delight in our words of worship. You know what's so amazing about God is that He makes the rules, and yet He chooses to love without condition. This is the kind of God that we have, and the power of God that we have in life. Amen? You know, we read in Genesis 3 where God made the kill the animals to cover the shame and to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. Amen? And He shed blood because the blood was the answer to the curse. The answer to your curses is the blood. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed through the cross. And He gave us a powerful name to be able to take authority. This name, which is above every name, must obey. Amen? And I believe that when it became time for the sons to make their own offerings, like Cain ignored the blood instant and brought vegetables, you know, then God wanted, you know, I told somebody that day, I said, well, if you want to be a vegetarian, God don't even need, no, but that's okay. He wants steak. Anyway, God help us, amen? That's not scriptural, it's just funny. And I believe that Cain chose to ignore the curse just like some people do. Amen. And that's why when we don't obey, deception comes, and that's why Cain rose up and killed his brother. He was deceived. See, he saw it from a different area. Amen. So we need to understand that what breaks the curse is the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no salvation, no redemption. And so the curse has to be broken by the blood in the name of Jesus. Amen? Say it with me. Absolutely the blood of Jesus. Absolutely. Say it again. Absolutely the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because God said when you bring the blood, you get mercy. Amen? You remember how God had instructed to make the Ark of the Covenant, and He asked them to put two cherubims facing each other. And the picture of that is depicted here as we see it where do we see that? In the book of John. And I'm going to close with this, then we're going to go through some deliverance. Okay? Go with me to the book of John, and let's go to chapter 20. See, God in His mercy had told him what to do with
And God has spoken about when they went into the Holy of Holies and stuff, they sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And what we see here is that justice and righteousness are satisfied by the blood. And when we see this, let's see what happened here in John 20 in verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the other feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Isn't it amazing? "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." The amazing thing here that it teaches us here that the two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the other feet, were the body of Jesus had lain, and they say unto her. Here the two angels are depicting the mercy seat. The same thing that happened as God told him to do with the cherubims on each side. And here they are at Jesus became the mercy seat. And so we need to understand the power of the working of the blood. Amen? Wow. Somebody say wow. Do you know that wow is mom upside down? Yeah. Said Jesus is our mercy seat. He shed his blood to break the curse. All righteousness and justice is satisfied because of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, we're free. You see, that's why we don't have to put up or take curses. We need to fight against it, speak to them, plead the blood over them, and believe for total freedom from it. Amen? Mentally, emotionally, whatever kind is there, past generational relationships. And we need to stand on the word of the Lord and believe that God is who He says He is and begin to see the working of God in our lives. Stand with me. It says in Hebrews 9:11, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, now made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered up himself without spot to God, purge your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the New Testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance, where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator." If you can go on and finish that verse, that the blood of the Lord breaks the generational curses in our lives. Amen. You know, out of studying and hearing the word today, I know that you know some things in your life that you need to break. And the generational curse from perversions to whatever, and follows the generations, maybe in your own generations of families. My oldest brother who has a lesbian daughter, he himself was a bastard son of my mother. So he was conceived out of wedlock. So my dad was his stepdad. So he was my stepbrother. And so you see the generational curse that is there is tremendous. And we can mock it and we can play games with it. We just have to come against it and speak truth to them. You don't need to be in that condition. The lies of scientists have told us that they found a gene that was homosexual or whatever. And they found out that it's a lie. You know, it's not true. There's no such thing. God wouldn't do that. The spirits are the ones that cause all these things. And you can come yourselves, even as Christians, in the house of worship. There's a lot of teachings that are doing homosexual and perverted spirits in the house of worship, from oral sex to for everything that has to be broken. And if we don't break the oral sex and the things that we've done in life, and we don't break that, those curses are going to follow you through your generation. And we think that that's okay to do these things because we've been taught it's okay what we do behind closed doors. That's a lie of the devil. You study Ezekiel 8, and you ask God to give you revelation. People say, how in the world do you get that from revelation? I've done all that garbage. But when truth came, the truth set me free. And when you know truth, you apply truth. And that's what we have to do here. And people, I've done deliverance here to pastors from Haiti to wherever they come from. They say, well, my wife likes it and I like it. But now you know truth. Whether you like it or don't, break it. And that's how generational curses are broken. I've dealt with people that, I'll tell you, generational curses from women having to go to the hospitals to have light bulbs taken out of their vaginas and all kind of garbage that goes on because of perverted spirits with broomsticks and sticks and whatever. And so the generational curses are tremendous. So we're not dealing here with just the lust and the desires of men. We're dealing here with a lot of generational curses and a lot of demonic activity. You can't impregnate anybody with your tongue or using it the wrong way. You understand? Somebody say, he's not embarrassing me. He's going to set me free. Amen. And when we break the generational curses, those curses have to be broken whether we enjoy it or not. You know, how many of you know that's what the lust of the flesh does? The Bible says when sin is conceived, when lust is there, sin is conceived. And when sin is conceived, death is there. Mm-hmm. Once we know truth, we apply truth. You know, God is not going to set you free if you're a diabetic and you don't obey the rules. Or whatever God sets you free from, if you don't obey the rules and say, well, I can continue. Usually most of the things that happen is we open gates because of what we were doing before anyway. Mm-hmm. And so when God comes to deliver us and sets us free, we need to obey the truth and apply truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you're a diabetic, you know you ain't supposed to be gobbling down candy like crazy. Mm-hmm. Very simple. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so we need to understand truth to set us free. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every generational curse of perversion that comes through my family line. From my grandfathers, great-grandfathers, to my father. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse. I break every perverted curse that has been in my life. I break it from generations past. I break it from me. And I break it on my children and my grandchildren. In the name of Jesus, I am going to teach them truth. And the truth will set them free. In the name of Jesus, I come against generational curses of divorce and separation. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of divorce right now. And I come against it. And I plead the blood. In the name of Jesus, I command this spirit to leave my house, to leave my children. In the name of Jesus, I break the generational curses of sickness and disease. In the name of Jesus, I take authority and I take dominion over the spirit. Every curse on me, I break darkness over me. I break the mental curse in my family generation. In Jesus' name, I have the mind of God and I will have wisdom. And I will be anointed of God. And I will pay attention to the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord will set me free. I am free from curses that I don't even understand. Actions and reactions that have caused me to stumble. I break those also from my children right now. I send them way back where they came from in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion in Jesus' name. Lord, in your name I stand today, free from generational curses. They will not come to me. They will not operate in me any longer. I send them back right now. I take authority over every demonic spirit of insanity in the name of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I have perfect thinking. I have the mind of the Lord. I have wisdom. I have knowledge. And I have understanding. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I break the curses right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, reveal to me the curses that I don't know of, that they will not continue to operate in my life. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of addiction, I break your power over me. I send you back where you came from. I break him over my children and their children in the name of Jesus. Sexuality spirit, perverted spirit, I break power over you in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion in Jesus' name. If you know of anything in your generational life, I want you to break that. Just speak right now. Just go ahead. Cry it out to God. We don't. It's not that we want to know what you have. Just amen. Hallelujah. Spirit of adultery, break it in the name of Jesus. We set the people free, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of heart disease, Father, we break it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just break that right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we take authority and we take dominion, Father, in Jesus' name. You are worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something that just, I'm not going to be teaching on this, but let me just talk to some of you on the perverted spirits that happen is that, you know, I deal a lot in deliverance. And when I learn truth on these things, because most of us have been involved in sexual perversion in our marriage, you know, or somebody's messed up with us when we were younger or whatever. And the thing that you need to understand that those things that we enjoy, you know, like doing it through the mouth or anal sex and all those things, those are perverted things too. That in Ezekiel 8, God showed him to Ezekiel, says, look through these holes in the wall and see the greater abominations that Israel does. And so you need to understand that those aren't just things that God gave us to enjoy. Do you know that sexually we're the only ones that do it face to face? All other animals do it backwards. You understand that? God is wiser than we think. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to set you free. Once you know truth, I deal with this stuff when people in the church say, well, my husband continues to want to do it. I said, refuse it. Send him over to me. And people will hear truth and say, no, it's going to ruin my marriage. No, you're already ruined. You're already doing it wrong. Amen?
Amen?
Right, Steve?
Yes.
So the Lord comes to set us free and teach us principles in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So I command the spirits to leave me.
Amen.
I command negativeness to leave me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, I used to do all that garbage, and I went to a conference with Marzullo and those guys in back in the 70s. And I learned, I said, wow, I need deliverance, big time. You know? And I told my wife, I will never do it to you and you will never do it to me. And I'll tell you what, I want to honestly say to you that I probably have one of the best marriages. Amen. Not that I haven't messed up in the past, but because I said, devil, you're not going to bring me to this roads again in my life. I'm kicking you out of my life. And he comes, he shows up. But when we break that power, you know what happened to me when I decided this? I felt a greater anointing. Because when we become honest with God, it's like with our tithing and whatever. Somebody say, oh, don't touch on that. Yeah, you need deliverance. You need deliverance from that. Amen. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, God ain't going to make you a millionaire, but I'll tell you, I've proven God. And I've had to sell homes. I had to get, my wife says, sometimes it seems like you go from rags to riches. Because one time I drew up in a old Lincoln. I mean, this thing was mile long. And I liked it because it only had like, it was an old car. It had only like 30,000 miles on it. And I drove up and I went through the door. My grandson comes up. What a monster car, Grandpa. I said, who said that, Grandma? He said, yeah. Let's see that. So get rid of garbage and move on with God. Amen. That's why people get into homosexuality, lesbianism, all those curses that come. Do you have anything else to ask me? You. Hello?
Yeah.
That's it? I didn't know if you had a question. You were waiting for me to do what I did?
No. What the Lord has taught us is that when we cast out spirits, then the house needs to be filled up again.
Sure.
And the gate.
Amen. Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you.
Yes.
I invoke the Holy Spirit to fill out those voids in me.
Yes.
Fill me with truth.
Yes.
Let your word prevail in my eye gate, my nose gate, my mouth gate, my ear gate, all gates in me, God. Touch gate, Lord, in all areas. In my organs, Father, let purity come. In my life, let purity come. Fill me, Lord, with truth today. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me, this has nothing to do with what we're doing, but you know, I just sense that there's children here of some of you dads that are so frustrated with you. I just got this thought. We need to break that. I want you to say this, Father, forgive me for the anguish and wrath that I've caused in my children. I break that curse in their life. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me. And teach him to forgive me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's like marriage and remarriage. You know, when you get remarried and you have children, you have to ask the father for a father's heart or a mother's heart. Or it's not going to work.
Jack left one thing out that we have found over the years. And that's sex during the time of their wife's menstrual period. We found that God says that's a curse.
Yes.
In Leviticus 17, it says you shan't do it. And in Leviticus 18, it says you're to be stoned if you do it. And we found that if that's happened and you've got prostate trouble or your wife's got female trouble, if you repent of that, and ask the Lord to heal you. We found that most of the time, that's the cause of those two things, and the Lord will heal you of it.
Amen. So we break that.
Amen.
We break that curse.
Amen.
You know, when he says you'll be stoned, some of you have probably done it when you were stoned. We're not talking about that. Father, we thank you for the food today. We bless you. I trust that God has showed you some things, and trust the blessing of the Lord be upon you. And tomorrow when I teach, I'm going to be preaching on rejection. We'll bring it from a different avenue. So trust the Lord will teach us something. I know He will. He's good. I love you.
Amen.
Lord bless you. Let's go with the Shabbat of the Lord. Let's shout when I count to three, the loudest you can shout, the Lord be magnified. 1, 2, 3. The Lord be magnified. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.